Okay. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the next series in our guest speaker series. This evening, we're going to have Representative Joy Goff Marcel, Commissioner Emily Bonilla, and Commissioner Meyer Uribe with us. And they're going to be speaking to us about their campaigns for re-election and what they have done so far in their current position. When they're done speaking, you'll have the opportunity to ask each of the candidates questions. Without further ado, I'm going to hand that over to Representative Joy Goff Marcel.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear
you.
Great. Hi. I'm Representative Joy Goff Marcel, and I represent House District 30, which is parts of Orange and Seminole County. That includes Altamont Springs, parts of Castleberry, Fern Park, Lockhart, and parts of Winter Park. I represent all of Maitland, Eatonville, and it's a pretty big district with a strange shape. It looks like a battleship. I've been in the House for the past 2 years fighting for all of us. Right now, the Florida House of Representatives is completely unbalanced, which you probably know. And the Democrats were able to gain 7 seats this past election, which helped because we were able to fight them longer and get a lot of bills that may have passed, didn't pass. Also, we were able to defeat an amendment because they needed a supermajority to try to pass an amendment that was about education and further taking away money from public schools and putting more money into the vouchers and the for-profit charter schools. So I've been up there fighting for that. I've been fighting for the LGBTQ rights up there. We've had bills that has infringed on their rights, and a lot of times it may not even be intentional, but that is the consequence of the bill. So I am very pleased to be here with you all and can't wait to hear all of your questions and comments and listen to you, because that's what I like to do. I like to listen to my constituents and then go to Tallahassee and fight for them.
All right, thank you, Representative. Next, I'd like to present Commissioner Meyer Uribe. You're still on mute.
Hi, everyone. I was trying to follow the rules to stay muted unless we're talking. But good evening, everyone. My name is Myra Uribe, Orange County Commissioner, District 3. I want to thank you guys for hosting us tonight on a Friday night. It's a great way to unwind from a long week. I was elected to the position in 2018 on a special election. I am born and raised in District 3, which is very exciting for me. First generation American. My dad is Colombian. My mom's from Argentina. I was born here, went to Oak Ridge High School. Now I'm a mother of two. I have a 16-year-old daughter, Faith, and a 3-year-old son, Lincoln. But I got involved in this position because I've always been an activist. I've always supported great, amazing candidates over the years. But I did not, trust or find transparency in local government or could get the help that I wanted or needed for our community. So I started knocking on doors and we were very successful. We were in a 6-way primary 2 years ago. And now I'm up for an actual real full term. I'm excited because I have support from all across the field. I'm excited to also announce that this evening, Joe Saunders just let me know that Equality Florida has just endorsed my candidacy for reelection. But this is about crossing party lines, crossing groups, because the one thing I've always believed, being a Latina woman, my husband's an African American, is that every person deserves to have human respect, decency. We should be free to love. We should be free to work. We should be free to move forward and be successful in whatever we do. And it's something that I strive for as a commissioner, and that I want to continue to strive for as we move forward. I look forward to our conversation tonight. It's very important. We have an election on August 18th. We have been knocking on doors or contactless canvassing since after New Year's. We took a break when the shutdown, but we are about 5 days away from hitting the district twice. We have a group of phone bankers tonight making sure those BBMs, those absentee ballots, are coming in, and we're going to try to make sure that every supporter and every voter is counted, and we are successful during this COVID election, that we're going to see what the turnout is. But I thank you guys for hosting tonight. It's exciting to be here, and I look forward to the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Uribe. Next up, we have Commissioner Emily Bonilla.
Hi, I'm Commissioner Emily Bonilla, Vice Mayor of Orange County, and I was elected first in 2016. I ran against the incumbent at the time, and I ran because I live in rural East Orange County, and they wanted to build an urban development in that area, which wasn't right for that area. And I gained a lot of support from the neighbors, organizations, and we got 10,000 petition signatures, and our commissioner still wasn't listening to us. So I decided to run against him in 2016, and I won. And since then, it's been very important for me to listen to the people, because I didn't feel heard when I was a constituent. Some of the accomplishments I've had since I've been in office has been protecting the wetlands. So before I got into office, the developers would come with their plans to fill in the wetlands, and I voted against those, and staff had changed the process to asking developers now to go around wetlands. Another accomplishment is I was born and raised in poverty. I was neglected and abused as a child, so it's very important to me that we had children's services for the children in Orange County like I had when I was growing up. And so I fought for more funding for children's services, and that resulted in $20 million in additional annual children's services funding. I advocated as a citizen, and I continue to advocate as a county commissioner, and I'm part of the National Association of Counties and Florida Association of Counties. And what that is that we advocate on behalf of counties to make sure that we're not preempted from being able to do our jobs as commissioners. And in that work with the National Association of Counties, I fought for local government funding for COVID-19. Relief, and that brought $243 million to Orange County. And that money is now being used for $10,000 grants for small businesses and financial assistance for families and individuals. So I look forward to this. I got a lot of endorsements from unions and from Equality Florida as well, and Ruth's List, and I look forward to hearing some of the questions that you all have. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Bonilla. So now we're going to move into the question portion of our forum. First, we're going to do the question section for State House. I'll be directed specifically to Representative Goff Marcel. First question is, will you support or co-sponsor the Florida Competitive Workforce Act to make it illegal to fire someone, deny them housing, or deny them access to public accommodations because of their sexual orientation or gender identity or expression?
Yes, I will support that. And I believe I'm not sure if it came up at, we try to get it up there every time, but I believe I attended the press conference. It's kind of all a whirlwind right now because I've had two sessions and we have had numerous press conferences where we go up and we all get in a group and we stand there and we talk to the media about these issues. And a lot of times we're just there to support our colleague who has brought the bill to the legislature, which of course they refuse to hear. The way the legislature is, like I said before, unbalanced. The leadership decides if a bill is going to be heard. And if they're not willing to put a bill, they don't want a bill to pass, and then they don't even make it go through the committees. And the committees are set up to be, for example, if there's 15 people in a committee, 10 of them are Republicans and 5 are Democrats. So even if a bill were to get on a committee, which it won't because the chair decides that and the speaker decides over the chair, even if that bill had gone in there, it would get outvoted 10-5. So that's the struggle that we're dealing with right now. We don't have enough power up there to get these really good pieces of legislation in front of the body. And if we were at this point able to get anything in front of the body, then it gets rejected. And a lot of times we try to pass an amendment onto one of their pieces of legislation, and that gets rejected every time as well. So that's what we're dealing with up at the Florida House. And you probably know this already because you know that we are trying to pass really good legislation, but we just can't get it in front of, we can't get it up there until we get more members, more Democratic members.
Thank you, Representative. So now I want to shift focus and ask questions of the commissioners. First question is going to go to Commissioner Uribe. As Orange County Commissioner, would you support the creation of an LGBTQ advisory board that would act as a direct link between the Board of County Commissioners and the LGBTQ community?
Thanks for the question, Brandon. Absolutely. You know, all groups need to have representation, and you know more than we do. And I think that's the biggest thing about engagement when it comes to county commissioners in our community, is we can't know everything. We don't know everything. So when there is a topic of interest, what, you know, LGBT, the Martin Luther King event, which we have a committee for that, Hispanic heritage, Asian American heritage, what a wonderful opportunity for you to be engaged with us and to share us the concerns that you're seeing firsthand that we may not always understand or know, or that's the thing, know that is happening. So for me, it's always about having an open door. And I actually encourage more involvement in all of our advisory boards. You are residents in our district. You are living in our district. You are working in our district. You should have a voice in our county. So absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. And Commissioner Bonilla, same question.
Yes, definitely, absolutely. One of the benefits of having advisory boards is that we get to hear from the different communities that are out there. And, you know, like, I'm going to say it a little bit differently than Commissioner Uribe, but, you know, I can't say how it's like being, let's say, a Black woman or a white woman, because I'm a Hispanic woman. And I don't pretend to fully know what others feel or think. And so I depend on people to talk to me, communicate with me, and tell me how they feel and what's going on in their communities. And it's very important that you can have elected officials, though, who are able to have that empathy to be able to, as best as we can, though, try to understand what it's like in someone else's shoes. And definitely, I'm definitely that person. I try my best to have that empathy, understand, but I'm not going to pretend that I completely can fully understand. And that's why we need to have those advisory boards and that people that we can connect with and give us some of that inside information, if you want to call it that.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Bonilla. So next question is going to go back to Representative Goff Marcel. So right now, the state's minimum wage sits at $8.46 an hour, and many Central Floridians, including those here in Orlando who work in the tourism industry, are working either just at that or just above the state's minimum wage. A lot of residents are also dealing with the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, with having been laid off from their job or having a reduction in hours. Would you support a increase to the state's minimum wage to ensure that Floridians have a livable wage?
Yes, I absolutely do support an increase to the minimum wage. Right now, people who are working even 60 hours a week on minimum wage, they can't afford their housing. We have an affordable housing, very big problem. It's being exacerbated by the COVID-19. And our budget had money for affordable housing in it, which was taken out by the governor and used the excuse that we would be getting it from the federal level. So that to me was unexcusable, that we needed to keep that money in there. And then the money that we were getting from the federal level was going to be for the emergency situation that we're in, not to replace what we originally put into the budget. So yes, I'm very concerned about how people are surviving. And now, on top of the fact that they didn't have a livable wage, they are losing their jobs, and the unemployment situation, the unemployment system was set up to fail. That's what it was set up so workers would have a difficult time getting their unemployment benefits. And our office alone has handled 400 cases of people who were trying to get their benefits and were denied, or they were put into a system where they couldn't figure out what was going on. They didn't get any updates, status, anything, and we're there to help them try to navigate the system that is completely flawed. So yes, I would definitely support raising the minimum wage.
Okay, great. And I have an addendum to that question as well. Does the Florida legislature have the authority to impose a moratorium on rent increases? And if so, would you support such an action to help give Floridians relief from the rising costs of rents across the state?
That's a really good question. I, on the top of my head, do not know if the legislature has. I would think they do, but I don't know if they would be overridden by the governor. So I would have to do the research and get back with you on whether the legislature has that. And then I would also have to see what exactly I would have to look at the bill and see what it's doing. Because obviously I don't think that landlords should be doing these, raising their rents, like what you hear in the news, how a person will get rent and rent someplace for a year or two, and then the rent is raised not aligning with the growth of the economy, and that's unexcusable. So I would want to somehow regulate that, but I don't want to say, this is something I'd have to see what the bill looks like, because there could be situations where a rent increase would be incremental and not be anything that would hurt somebody. But right now there are people out there that are taking advantage, but there are a lot of people that aren't as well. So I would really have to take that into consideration. I think the affordable housing problem, that is one part of it. I think there's a lot to do with there's a lot going on with affordable housing that is not just the rent increases. It's also just the focus on corporations making all the money and getting tax rebates. And I mean, another example of that is this past budget had over $500 million worth of tax rebates back to the largest corporations in Florida. And instead of the governor taking that out of the budget, that was left in. So they got their $543 million tax rebates. And meanwhile, the affordable housing money was taken out of the budget. It's disgraceful. So when you ask the question like that, I would say, yes, I would support legislation, but I'm not saying I would have to read it. I am very intentional when I read my bills. I want to make sure that they don't have unintended consequences. So the long way around, that's the answer to that question.
Okay. Thank you, Representative. Yes, that would definitely, in my mind, not be a good thing if certain bills have unintended consequences for Floridians. So definitely, thank you for that. So I'm going to go back to the commissioners. This question is going to be for Commissioner Bonilla. What are you currently doing to help constituents through the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yes, so currently, well, when this first happened, I right away wrote to the chief judge. I've written to the superintendent of schools. I wrote to the governor. I was very proactive in trying to reach out to as many agencies and people as possible who could help in this situation. Like I mentioned in my opening, I worked with the National Association of Counties and County Commissioners across the nation to get local government funding. I wrote a letter to the mayor and the county administration on what the needs of my district would be. And quite frankly, you know, would also affect other districts as well. So I was very proactive in everything. You know, my staff right away, we had set up our home offices before the county even started doing that. Like, we were ahead of everything. So we've been very proactive. We've been helping people. I also, in that first letter that I wrote, I also asked for rental assistance. So we were actually, because of that, one of the first counties to provide rental assistance to our citizens. Definitely my biggest concern is making sure that our people have a roof over their heads and food in their stomach, because if people cannot survive their everyday needs, then the concern with our economy is it's not good. You can't have an economy if you don't have consumers. So we need to make sure that we can keep the people above water and help them as much as possible through this. And that's what my goal is. That's what I'm doing. And, you know, whoever I could reach out to for help, that's definitely what I'm doing. I did bring up the rent freeze in Orange County. And the state has preempted us from that with some exceptions. And we fall within those exceptions. And you can read about it on my website, emilybonilla.com. I put all the research there, presented it to the board. But it didn't, I made a motion for it to at least go to a public hearing. And I only got... And the public hearing would have allowed staff to go and do more research on it and bring that back to the board. And I only got one positive vote on that, so it failed in the commission. But I'm doing everything I can to try to help the people of Orange County get through this.
Thank you, Commissioner Bonilla. Same question to Commissioner Uribe.
Thank you, Brandon, for the question. Actually, we got ahead of this COVID-19 in the beginning. I pride myself on attending as many press conferences, and one of the biggest things we saw first on was that we weren't relating the information in any other language but English. And I tried to get the mayor to change that, because we have a huge Haitian Creole and huge Hispanic community that wasn't getting the information in real time. And then suddenly we saw a huge uptake in positive cases in 32822, which is a 62% Hispanic community. And myself, with Commissioner Maribo Gomez Cordero and Joanna Lopez, our school board member, we had a press conference demanding that we offered this information in more than one language. that it was available to people in real time presently. We also fought for testing sites in our community. We had testing sites that were not accessible to public transit. You couldn't walk up to them. So basically, if you didn't have a car and could drive 7 miles, you couldn't get tested. Well, we were able to change that and get the county to put a testing site right in the heart of 32822, where I was proud to say, after we got that testing site, we went out and promoted it, and 70% of the folks that got tested actually lived in that zip code. So there was a need, and we filled it. We have had 4 reusable mask giveaways. I did a call of help, and we had reusable masks come from Nigeria, Ohio, Hawaii, here in Central Florida with Orlando Mask Strong, and many groups where we were able to get 4,000 masks donated, where we got them out directly in the community with hand sanitizer and information about the county. But we were the first ones to have a virtual town hall meeting in English and Spanish when CARES funding came to Orange County, and we knew how much was going to go out to families and individuals, and we knew what was going to go out to businesses, and we educated the community on how to apply for those. When the county failed to get appropriate information out in more than one language and with detailed information, we created our own flyer. We put it out virtually, but what we did was I would actually go to small businesses and I would have on the front information about business, and I would tell the owner, this is about you so you can apply, and on the back, this is for your employees so they can apply. And we've been ahead of this, and sometimes we've had to be a little vocal with media because people were getting sick and we weren't getting the supplies they needed. So we did a mass drive for businesses also. But lastly is, we've done 5 food pantry giveaways, most recently last week, where we gave out 550 boxes of food with milk, cheese, chicken, vegetables, fruit, because there's a need in our community, and that need is not going away. And it is so important that as this information continues to unfold and as these ordinances from the governor keep coming down, that we're going to try to help and assist our families and individuals that live in Orange County. There aren't jobs. People don't have trust in going out and shopping and going out and eating because now we're still seeing these uptake numbers. So we are staying very, very highly engaged. Now we're even participating in forums where parents get to discuss their concerns with children returning to school. And I myself have made a decision with my husband. My husband lost his grandfather to COVID Tuesday night. He died alone. He was diagnosed 5 days before, and we couldn't even be with him as he passed on. And that was a final decision that it is not safe, at least in my opinion, to send our children back to school. And we're being vocal and supporting teachers. I'm happy to have support of Wendy, the president of the CTA, as we help communicate this because we don't know what it is. It's a virus that we can't see, and every day we're still seeing it spread. So this is a continual work that we've been doing. We've been doing it since March, and we're going to keep doing this until we have a vaccine or we figure out where we finally can get this uptake going down and more reasonable. Thanks, Brandon. I know that's a long question, but we've done so much on COVID that I'm very proud of all the work our office has done.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a lot of work that you've done so far for your constituents on with respect to COVID-19. And I just want to say I'm sorry for your loss in that regard. So I'm going to ask a question of Representative Goff Marcel. Do you support teaching comprehensive, LGBTQ inclusive, and age-appropriate sex education and HIV prevention programs in our public schools?
Yes, I definitely age-appropriate, and yes, I do think that we need that. We need to be preventative, and as far as sexual transmitted diseases, unintended pregnancies, all of that. We need to be preventative. And what I am not currently aware of what they're being taught in public schools right now, but it should definitely include everyone, not just the straight kids. So yes, definitely would agree to that.
Okay, great, thank you. So another question I'd like to ask you, Representative, this actually kind of goes back to the issue with the unemployment system. So as you know, like the coronavirus pandemic has actually exacerbated the issue with Florida's unemployment system, the DEO. Mm-hmm. Would you support a complete overhaul of Florida's unemployment system, and what ideas would you have to overhaul the system?
Well, it needs an overhaul. I don't understand why the software that was used for this system cost millions and millions and millions of dollars. And it makes me think we should have an investigation of why who this company was, how they got the deal, the contract. And we've had other situations. In fact, before this happened, and I don't know if you all were paying attention to what was going on with the Domestic Violence Coalition and how the person that was the state made that coalition have a monopoly. So the person in charge was making tons of money off of the state dollars. And we were investigating that in the committee that I am in. It's the PI, Public Integrity and Ethics Committee. We were investigating that. And then this whole COVID hit, and we kind of went, that kind of just got disappeared for now. But that brought up a whole nother situation where I thought, how did that person get that job to do the contract for the software, and who is watching over that? And we just need to get to the bottom of that. I think it comes down to just that's a technical problem, an engineering problem. I think if we had a better software company or software program to run the employment system, it would be so much better. So that's what I'm thinking right now. We need to look at that and just make it run more smoothly. We also need to look at the amount, because $275 a week is not enough, obviously. And it's almost like I said before, it was built to fail.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Representative. I want to shift focus back to the commissioners. So I'm going to ask Commissioner Uribe, would you be in favor of imposing fines for Orange County residents who do not wear masks or follow social distancing guidelines to prevent the spread of COVID-19?
You know, Brandon, that's a very good question. I think I can't speak for anyone else, but when I became a county commissioner, I really felt my role was to lead, to fight for those that we don't always hear about, to be transparent and to be a service to the people that we represent. When COVID hit, everything changed. I mean, we had to go into this role from the federal level all the way down, obviously more important here, where we had to impose these rules because the general public wasn't adhering and we were having an illness that was spreading and killing people. And we, you know, come full circle, we started our phasing opening because economically it was affecting so many people, and consumer confidence is in the ground, which is affecting, you know, our sales tax, our gas tax. And then we started phasing opening, and then we saw this huge increase of numbers that has not been able to stop. And so we've gone and said, please wear masks. We've gone and encouraged people to please stay distant. We've gone and told people, if you don't need to be out, don't be out. And no one is listening. And so now we're doing these strike zones, strike forces, because businesses, that was part of the deal when businesses were out, was that they were going to practice safe practices for COVID. Washing your hands, staying 6 feet apart, wearing a mask, and they weren't following. And so now we're in this predicament where we're trying to go after these folks. And we've gotten so many calls at our office. And if you knew, it makes me worry to even go out of chiropractors not following, of nail salons not following, barbershops not following. And what we are seeing, and I'm not saying that those people are sending the virus to folks or spreading it, but what we saw at that bar at UCF and what we're seeing is that we are not controlling these numbers. They are still happening. Our death rate has more than tripled in the last 6 weeks. So if we can't get people to comply, then we're gonna have to make aggressive moves. And if those aggressive moves mean doing citations, then it might be something we'll have to do. And it's, people get so upset. I feel like you get two extremes. You get people who are like so excited, please make a mask. And then you get the other side of it of, how dare you? That's my right as an individual to do. And it is hard because I never got into this to dictate how people lived or ran their business. But when you have extreme things happening, and I've spoken to Dr. Pino himself, who has said he is very concerned when school goes back in, because we're going to see that go up, not necessarily the students, but teachers who have compromising immune systems and so forth. So a long answer to one question was, unfortunately, yeah, I think we're going to have to do this, because until we can see these numbers level out where people feel safe to be out and people can be safe when they're out, we're going to have to do some extreme movements.
And I couldn't agree more with that. Same question to Commissioner Bonilla. Would you be in favor of imposing fines for Orange County residents who do not wear masks or follow social distancing guidelines?
Well, I did answer this question for another organization, and the thing that I explained to them was that, it's human nature, people just wanted, and I'm talking about like people, it's all about what can I get, and they don't want to be told what to do, and businesses are made of people, and that's why we have agencies like EPA and stuff like that to put regulations to make sure that businesses are doing what they should be doing for the greater good. So this is very similar, where we put our trust in the businesses to do what they were supposed to do and protect the greater good. And unfortunately, they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And when that happens, that's why we have regulations that come into play. And, I really don't want to fine anyone, but if it comes to the point where we can't get to where we need to be because people are not listening, they're not following the guidelines, we're going to have to take more extreme measures. And that I also didn't get into this to tell people, what to do. And it's really sad that that trust that we put in businesses and in people, I guess the trust was violated. I don't know how you want to say it, but if you trust someone to do something and they go against that, you give them the privileges and everything, to do what you trust them to do, you're not going to trust them anymore. So, sometimes, we have to make tough choices, and we have to do what we have to do to protect the greater good. And this is a worldwide pandemic, and it is serious. And we're going to have to make those tough decisions.
Agreed. Thank you, Commissioner Bonilla. So I'm going to ask a question back to Representative Goff Marcel. Would you support and or co-sponsor legislation that would create a non-binary gender marker option on state licenses?
I don't see why not. I mean, I don't. It amazes me what kind of issues our current legislature will focus on, and I'm talking about the majority of our legislature. They'll focus on something like what restrooms someone uses, and to have something on a driver's license like that, I wouldn't see why, if you want that on your driver's license, you should be able to have that on your driver's license. Now, I wouldn't want people to be discriminated upon because they had it on their driver's license. So I would be worried about that. But if that's what you wanted on there, I don't see the problem.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Uribe. Sorry, let me scroll back up. Okay, I apologize. Commissioner Uribe, research performed by True Colors United found that 40% of youth experiencing homelessness are LGBTQ. In your opinion, what further actions need to be taken by Orange County to reduce and prevent homelessness against LGBT youth specifically?
Thank you for that question. Actually, this is a very sad question. As a mother of a teenager, I've actually heard of this with my daughter. Some of her friends who come out and parents don't want to accept it. They feel rejected. Their parents are angry about it. And it's sad that a child would feel so despair and that the parents would be so focused on one thing that they would put their children in this predicament. But I've had the pleasure of being involved with Bliss, a local organization, and I admire a lot of the work that they do, because no child should be homeless. No child should be on the street. No child should be ashamed or have to do things that no one should ever experience. And we absolutely need to do more. We absolutely, not just homelessness and shelter, but counseling and assistance and help and welcoming. We do see this a lot, and we do unfortunately see children also end up turning to criminal activity or becoming addicted to drugs or alcohol because they're just trying to make the pain go away in the life that they're living. And so as a mom, I wouldn't want to see it I can't even fathom it. And we do have to do more support for this. We have to be more open about it. We have to discuss these things a lot, and I don't think we do enough. You know, we try to compartmentalize homelessness in certain ways, but we're not doing enough for children, and we need to create an environment that is safe and welcoming. If a child feels that they have to leave home or if they've been kicked out of their home, that there is somewhere that can help them and can welcome them and hopefully assist them, so that isn't their life, that isn't their future, and it won't dictate what their life could be. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Commissioner Uribe. I want to actually ask the same question of Representative Goff Marcel. Understandably so, this would more or less be a county level question, but I wanted to get your input from a state level perspective on what we could do to combat LGBTQ homelessness.
Yeah, well, something that Commissioner Bonilla said stuck with me, because she had said that on another issue you asked about at the county level, she said that she was preempted. And that's what we're dealing with at the state level. So if we wanted to try to put something out right now with the legislature, which I would be supportive of, something that would protect them, and the Speaker of the House would not hear it, the committee chairs would not hear it. And not only that, there's a committee up there right now that would preempt the county from trying to pass something like that. Now, I'm not saying that's there right now, but I'm saying that is what's happening in Tallahassee. So there's a lot of good work that's trying to be done at the county level for something, an example of what you just said. And then the state will come in and say, no, counties, you can't do that. We preempt you. So that's something. I served on the Maitland City Council for 2 terms, 6 years. And that's part of the reason why I ran, because that kept happening. And I'm for making local decisions, because we know our community and we know what our community needs to be able to make decisions that impact the vulnerable people among us.
Thank you. And Commissioner Bonilla, I'm going to ask you the same question. Research performed by True Colors United found that 40% of youth experiencing homelessness are LGBTQ. In your opinion, what further actions need to be taken by Orange County in order to reduce and prevent homelessness against LGBTQ youth?
Yes, that's definitely a concern. You know, I've been doing work with the Zebra Coalition, you know, volunteering my time, helping them raise money. And that's that situation, I believe, and I could be wrong. And like we were mentioning earlier, maybe the advisory board can help us figure out what's causing the issue. But I will assume that the issue are the parents who are putting their children out once they find out that they are not straight. So I feel that as a county, I think the solution will be funding to be able to help these children have a place that they could live, perhaps adoption by people who are willing to accept them. Are some of the solutions, and that's definitely going to have to be a partnership with people who are willing to adopt, and as far as funding, but it's going to have to be a political will of the board, because I just think that we need to have housing for the youth who are homeless, and they're going to need some support systems within that shelter as well. Other than that, I mean, unfortunately, we can't force parents to keep their children, you know? And it's really sad that, you know, there are adults out there like that, but you know, I can say I could do a little bit more to empathize with that, you know, considering my childhood, so.
Thank you, Commissioner Bonilla. We have a question coming in from one of our members, Brooke Wilson. Either on a statewide level or at the local level, would you support legislation banning conversion therapy? This is a question for all three of you, so I'm going to first ask that question to Representative Goff Marcel.
I would absolutely support banning conversion therapy. I have to say I'm a little naive because I didn't even realize that it existed until when I ran for office. I think it was when I was in the city council, but someone had come up and asked me that question, and I misunderstood what they were saying, and I answered it wrong because I didn't know what they were saying. And then when it was explained to me, I just didn't know that that was still an issue. And it's horrific if that's an issue still. And obviously it is because you're asking the question. Yes, it should be banned. It's completely, completely inappropriate.
Thank you. Same question for Commissioner Uribe.
Brandon, thanks for the question. Absolutely. It's very sad to know that there are so many places here locally in Orange County that do this. And, you know, a lot of people try to compare this to Christianity and what's right and what's wrong. But it's taken all out of context in that sense, because when, you know, you can be a Christian, and a true Christian is to love. There is no definition of how you do it. But to somehow believe that this is appropriate or tolerated is absolutely wrong. And so, yes, I would support it. I hope that the county would take this on further. I know that it's been a while when this came up in front of the county commission, but I've taken a note to see where we are on that, because there was a research being done that was going to come back to us as the county. And I don't believe that this has been followed through. So yeah, we need to show that leadership at the local level. Yes. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Uribe. And same question to Commissioner Bonilla.
Yeah, definitely. When this had come to the county, this is something that I've been supporting. I also supported this in front of a bunch of ministers. they didn't like me much, but you know, I definitely support the community, and I support in banning the conversion therapy.
Great, thank you. Yeah, standing up and for what's right and doing what's right isn't always the popular thing, and a lot of times you'll find that certain groups will actually not like you because you're actually doing the right thing. So definitely thank you so much for that answer. So at this time we have actually reached the end, and I wanted to give each of you an opportunity to provide us with a brief closing statement about what your intentions are for the office upon re-election, and why the voters should vote for you. So I'm going to start with Commissioner Bonilla.
Yes, thank you. Definitely, we do have the pandemic, and that is an issue that we have to work on. But previous to the pandemic, diversifying economies was one of my priorities, and it's definitely going to be even more of a priority now because we definitely need to do that. We can't be dependent on one industry. As you can see, it's really hurting us here in Orange County. Continuing smart growth, I really wholeheartedly feel that bad growth management has been the cause of a lot of our issues here in Orange County, and so smart growth is really important to continue that as well. And affordable housing, making sure that everyone can live with dignity, that is definitely important on the top of my list too. So those are all things that I want to continue working on in my next term. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Bonilla. Commissioner Uribe.
I want to first thank you guys for hosting us tonight, and Brandon for not giving up hope on me when my email didn't work. But what is great about today is we continue to have these dialogues and conversations, and I hope they don't end today. I hope we don't wait till election season. I would love to return as your commissioner. I would love to get engaged and have you participate in our community, and I say community, in our district, and being involved in what's happening in your local government. Like I said before, you know, I'm honored to have this role. I'm here because people decided to vote for me and give me a chance, and knew that I was here to represent people because I believe in transparency and I believe in accountability. But I also believe in economic growth and recovery. It's going to be a while before we recover from COVID, and we have to be smart. And as we build consumer confidence, we have to be smart to continue to have funding and the economy move in Orange County, because if not, we're going to see very, very gloomy days. But when we talk about housing, I know 5 months ago, COVID, no one ever heard of it. Now our lives have changed upside down. And one of the things I worry the most about housing is more of retention. How do we keep people in housing? How do we try not to expose an excess of homelessness that could happen, whether it's due to your utility bills, it's due to your personal credit, all these things that are going to happen. So I think our housing industry is going to be looked at differently, because we're going to see this economic impact. If you're not making money, you can't pay your bills. I mean, it's that simple. So the economy has to start moving forward. 1,000 people a week are moving to Orange County. We need for them somewhere to live. We need to create jobs that are going to be, that you could live and afford to have a decent livelihood. So I'm a firm believer that community and business go hand in hand when you look at leadership for our future. And these are conversations we're going to have for a long time. I thank you all for having us. I encourage you to please come out and vote on August 18th so that we can win our reelection. And if you want to join us, we'd love to have you. We do phone banking and canvassing 7 days a week. And our website is voteurebe.com. And if you're kind enough to do a contribution, we're happy to receive it. But more than anything, please tell your friends. And if you live in District 3, please vote Myra Uribe on August 18th, on or before. Thank you very much again for hosting us.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. And last but not least, Representative Goff Marcel.
Hey,
Thank you so much for having us this evening. I was born and raised in my district, so I have a very strong connection to it. I love my district. My husband and I chose to raise our children in this district, and I want to go back to Tallahassee when it's safe. I want to go back there and continue to fight for affordable health care, for small businesses, for public education, for the environment, and for all the issues that directly affect the most vulnerable among us. And this COVID-19 has made everything dramatically worse as far as our healthcare and us not taking the what we should have done is to expand Medicaid. And this would have been an example of when it would have been very helpful. It would have been helpful all along because we would actually save money expanding Medicaid. We would stop using the emergency rooms for preventable care. But now it's a crisis if because we didn't expand Medicaid. And the economy depends on this virus. We've got to get it under control in order to get our economy back up and running. And that is something that I'm not understanding coming from the state level and the national level. I'm not understanding why they can't make that connection, and we shouldn't be opening the schools, hurriedly opening the schools. That's going to affect all of us because those children are going to be bringing this virus even closer to home than it already is. Is when we first started, you knew somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody. But now, I bet everyone on this call and everyone on this panel, especially Commissioner Meary, has experienced someone very close to them, either a family member or the parents of a best friend. So I really think we need to really concentrate on how we're going to fight this virus by expanding the testing, by doing contact tracing, by just doing what we need to do, by wearing our masks, by washing our hands, by social distancing. It's really not that hard. It's not comfortable, but it's not difficult. And you all brought up some many, many difficult issues that we all need to work together. We leaders, the leaders of the community do not have all the answers. We need to have more of these kind of forums where we can discuss and try to come up with solutions for very difficult problems. If you want to find out more about me and my campaign, you can go to my website, joyforflorida.com, and please reach out to me and let me know how you're feeling and what you were looking for from your state representative. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Representative. I want to give a big thank you to Representative Joy Goff Marcel, who's representing Florida House District 30, Commissioner Myra Uribe, who's representing Orange County Commission District 3, and of course, Commissioner Emily Bonilla, who's representing Orange County Commission District 5. Both Commissioner Uribe and Commissioner Bonilla have elections on August 18th, and Representative Goff Marcel has an election on November 3rd. So we hope that you will go out and support these candidates. I want to thank everybody for attending and have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you.